Wow. Glad you finally came to the party. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you, Barry. Still recovering from our weekend and now having to do so without my wife because she's on her way to Florida for a wedding.
Well, we'll keep you in prayer for all that.
She left me with lots of food, but she didn't leave me with somebody to fix it for me.
Oh,
can you believe that?
Oh, no. I guess she figured you're going to have to learn how to fend for yourself.
Imagine that.
Well, I think, Chuck, that just fits right in with the theme of what we're talking about today. Imagine that. That maybe we just have to learn how to fend for ourselves. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is a message that Chuck and I both received, via a number of channels about the events that took place last Friday with the Ohio Republican Party. You see, they're changing the chairman. This has been going on now for 3 or 4 weeks, I think, Chuck, where the governor and the leaders of the party had pretty much picked who they wanted to be the next chairman of the party, a gentleman by the name of Matt Borges. Now, Borges is basically a campaign operative. I've ran past him numerous times over the years as he's done everything from work in the office of former state treasurer Joe Dieters to being the campaign manager for Bob Gibbs's congressional campaign to many other things. Now, one of the areas where I didn't run into him in a positive sense was when he was lobbying for gay rights groups. His firm was hired by gay rights groups to lobby for what's called ENDA, which is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That raised the hackles of a number of social conservatives in the Republican Party, and so therefore, they started making some cries to the party operatives about not having Mr. Borges as the next state party chairman. And it raised to the level that some people, especially in the Tea Party movement, and this happened along with Governor Kasich crying out for going after Obama money for more Medicaid expansion, that many in the Tea Party felt that they needed a different choice as well. And so, I don't know, Chuck, maybe it was about three or four weeks ago when all this started transpiring, that a leader in the Tea Party movement, a gentleman by the name of Tom Zawistowski from Portage County, announced publicly his intention to put his name in the ring for the chairmanship of the Ohio Republican Party on a platform that he could bring the various interests of the party together, the social conservatives and others, and that they would be working toward embracing and building up those foundational principles that supposedly the Republican platform was built upon. Well, Chuck, the best laid plans of mice and men, as they say. Last Friday, the vote was held, and, well, just say that Mr. Borges is going to be the next chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, having obtained 48 votes to Mr. Zawistowski's 7 votes in the State Central Committee. Now, there's 66 members of the State Central Committee in the Republican Party, 33 men, 33 women, one of each from each of Ohio's 33 Ohio Senate districts. So, obviously, the message that Mr. Zawistowski was bringing was not strong enough to overcome the influence of Governor John Kasich. And, honestly, I'm not really all that surprised. Are you, Chuck?
Well, Barry, let me just say enthusiastically that Zawistowski got 40% more votes than I predicted.
Well,
because I predicted 5, and right, he got 7. So, wow, he really knocked me back on my can and made me realize that my analysis had been very far off, 40% increase in the votes that I predicted. No, I'm being facetious, obviously. This is a rigged game, Barry. It has been rigged. It's been rigged for years. And the only thing that I find particularly surprising about it is the fact that there are people out there who I know and respect and love who didn't realize it was a rigged game.
Who actually thought that there was really a significant chance that Tom Zawistowski could become the next Republican Party chairman. Now, I know some of those people you're talking about, Chuck. We had these conversations with many of them and kind of just shook our heads and said, you don't get it, do you? Really, what this is really about is mutually assured destruction, because the people who voted for Tom Zawistowski, I will guarantee you, those 7 people are going to have primaries next year from members of the Republican Party establishment. They are going to want them out of the party because they weren't loyal to the incoming chairman by not voting for him. Same thing will probably happen. There'll probably be as many as they can get, maybe not 48, but I'm sure that the Tea Party folks, if they're frustrated enough and are still staying in the party at that point, will probably be running primary candidates, probably insurgent guerrilla primaries, against many of the setting establishment Republicans who voted with the governor and for Matt Borges. So regardless of how this was going to turn out, Chuck, there was going to be a lot of primaries coming in the Republican State Central Committee race in spring of 2014.
I'm going to ask you a question. You can poo-poo it or whatever. What exactly is John Kasich thinking about by running off the only people who can help him across the finish line in 2 years? And
you know, if I understood that, I honestly, Chuck, I guess what we'd have to get down to is he doesn't think that's the situation. He doesn't think that they're the people who are going to get him anywhere, which means that he's looking at forming a quote-unquote winning coalition from a number of other avenues. Now, in the Republican Party, that's hard to do, but I think what he thinks is because he's the sitting incumbent, then that's enough to ward off any legitimate or significant primary challenges to him to be nominated again to run for governor. But then at that point, that the coalition that he's going to build for the general election is going to look more, shall we say, mixed.
Well, okay. Personally, I'd say mixed maybe, but anemic for certain.
Well, yes, and it makes sense with the Medicaid expansion effort and throwing all your eggs in the basket there. I'm sure we're going to see a few other carrots that are being dangled out politically and or legislatively to bring certain groups on board with the Republican Party. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm not saying that he's doing this, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear an announcement similar to Rob Portman someday here soon about their evolving views on traditional marriage. At one point he did an interview here a few weeks ago and kind of slipped and had to backtrack that he really wasn't saying that he had that position, but I think that was just to see how it would play.
Well, sure, Barry, because, I mean, let's face it, as much money and as much influence, the homosexual lobby has a much greater impact financially and socially than their numbers, because as we know, it's 2 or 3% by U.S. Census numbers.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah, and that's stretching it. And if you think you're going to win by chucking the Tea Party and taking up the conservative wing of your party and making a deal with, sure, you're going to get a lot of money out of the homosexual wing if you come out in favor of that. But the fact is, you're not really going to get very many votes. In fact, you're going to get a lot of people who will take a look at, as just happened in the last presidential election, who will look at the Socialist Party A in the Democrats and Socialist Party B in the Republicans and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to go out and vote today unless some kind of a crisis can be ginned up, and I don't see one in the offing.
Well, never hold your breath on that, because a good crisis can always be brought up.
Well, that's true. I mean, that one can always be.
But let's go back, because after the vote, Mr. Zolotowsky penned a letter about the Republican Party. He sent it to the members of the State Senate Committee, and it's called Now We Finally Understand Each Other. And then he talks about this whole idea of why he got into the race and why they were concerned. And then he was starting to finally see the light, Chuck, that when he starts talking to some of these people inside the party, then he said he talked to Borges personally, and then he said that basically the party's role is to elect candidates, specifically re-elect Governor Kasich. That's the only thing the party's supposed to be doing. And Zolotowsky said, well, when I asked him about policy, he looked me in the eye and said, we don't do policy. When I specifically asked him about policies like Navigator Bill in the Senate, he repeated, we don't do policy. Even after I pointed out that the navigators are allowed to register voters, with the presumption being that they would register mostly Democratic voters, and that would devastate the Republican Party, he held firm. And Zolotowsky talks about how he spoke to some other leaders, including House Speaker Batchelder, and basically how Batchelder even said to him years ago, hey, you don't understand. We raise money to win elections, and after we win elections, we stay out of the way until the next election when the cycle repeats. So what they're trying to say is the party doesn't have policy, Chuck, or they do not support policies. Now, that's an eye-opener to many people in the Tea Party movement who the reason why the Tea Party movement formed was because of the specific policies that the Tea Party folks, lower taxes, limited government, protection of Second and First Amendment, Second Amendment rights, the protection of life, the many things that the Tea Party movement's about is all about policy. And so Zolotowsky was having trouble understanding up until just recently what the big problem is. And Chuck, I guess we could say that the big problem really is different worldviews.
Oh, vastly different worldviews. Vastly. The Tea Party, you know, you and I have discussed from time to time that there's a bit of a moral bankruptcy in the Tea Party movement in that they want to play neutrality. And as we all know, the neutrality is a myth. You either are one way or you're another. And they wanted to basically stay away from spiritual matters because as far as they're concerned, it destroys everything. Well, of course, it doesn't destroy everything. It's the moral basis for why things work. What they're finding out is that even though they're morally bankrupt, the Republican Party is serious. It's like going from a vacuum into a place where the air is too thin to breathe. The Ohio Republican Party is the vacuum. The Tea Party is basically the atmosphere at 25,000 feet. And it's interesting that they can see that. They're beginning to see that now. The fact is that there is a complete moral vacuum at the top that wants nothing to do with any kind of real policy, because making a real policy stand would actually require them to take a stand.
Yeah, well, but Chuck, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this. When they say the only job they have is to raise money and to run candidates and get them in office, they are making policy, because it goes back to the old chestnut, personnel is policy. Who you pick and who you put into these positions determines the policies you're going to have. And that's the big problem with Matt Borges and the Ohio Republican Party. They don't have a central compass other than just win. Just win. Doesn't matter. Now they're starting to show, yeah, it does matter a little bit. If you're a conservative, you're a Tea Partier, we really don't want you in here. We want to go with the moderates to the liberals, from the baby killers to the pro-sodomites. We're all good with that, because we know we can raise money and win with them.
Well, listen, all you have to do is listen to quote-unquote supposed conservative voices who are talking about, well, we've got to have that bigger tent or we won't win. And it's win, 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 win. We'll win any way we can. And you'll hear things about giving people a pass on certain really moral decisions because, well, probably national politics shouldn't have anything to do with that. People who want to drop the abortion thing because, well, actually, you know, that drives voters away. Well, how many voters will you drop away by dropping it? Barry, you and I have had conversations with people who tell us that they remain in the Republican Party because of the platform.
Yeah, we heard that just recently, and the person was just being honorable and honest about where they were, but we had to be honest where we were as well, and the fact that you've got party leaders who are saying that the platform, you might as well just do away with the platform because nobody follows it. And there's no party discipline for not following it unless you happen to be a Tea Partier.
And therein lies the rub. Basically, Joe Blow just simply wants to go out and vote.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have to get involved in doing this, that, and another thing that you have to do. But he wants decent candidates thrown in his lap. That's not the way this works.
No, not at all.
It's lowest common denominator politics. I mean, lowest common denominator doesn't work. It doesn't work in education, and it certainly doesn't work in politics.
Yeah, well, and that gets us to where we're talking about the whole idea of this worldview differential, because from Zolotowsky's letter, he basically said, the problem for us, and he's talking about the Tea Party folks, is that we see no point in electing anyone if we can't count on them to implement the policies we want implemented. The definition of a political party is that they only elect candidates for the purpose of influencing government policy. See, he gets it. Personnel equals policy.
Yeah.
He says, well, the Ohio Republican Party leaves out the policy part. No, they don't. They just don't actively endorse particular policies unless they really feel they need to. Oh, I like Senate Bill 5, like some of the other things where they want to expand government power. You'll see the party endorsing that left and right. But what they really do endorse are hand-picked candidates that they know are going to toe the party line.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up because we're out of time. Let's pick it up again tomorrow. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.